happy 2026. This is the first episode in Naked in this new year. And I thought a lot about this new year and just what's coming. We've got this beautiful wedding. Our daughter's getting married to an amazing man in February, and we are just so delighted. And with that being said, a lot of my time, energy, and thoughts and spending time writing is devoted to creating the most amazing day that they could have and welcoming our guests that are coming from all over the world to be with us to celebrate their amazing day. So you might notice things might change a little bit. I might be writing a little less and there might be more guests because I have a lot of amazing guests that are in the queue that have shared their stories. And so instead of doing the back and forth between the writing and then sharing guests, it might just be a month or two of incredible guests. I am so delighted for every person that says yes to being here with you and me and sharing parts of their stories. It is really such an honor to hold this space for so many people from around the world. And I'm just excited to see what's going to happen in 2026. There's some really new and exciting things brewing inside of me that I am excited to explore. And it aligns very much with where Naked is going. But pursuing some things that I haven't known how to do. And I feel like I have some clarity. So I'm very, very excited about that. I was thinking about this season and about this new year and about how we need to be gentle with ourselves and not compare our journey to other people's journey based on success or unsuccess, but to really look at our life and to gauge the success based on the peace that we possess and follow the things of our heart that maybe we've been afraid of doing, but there's this really gentle peace behind it, even though maybe it makes no sense to everybody else. But there's a peace inside our hearts. So as you move into this year, I hope that you follow the thing that brings you the most peace and let that can be your guide as you make decisions, as you maneuver and change and decide to add or subtract things from your life. My hope for you is that peace guides you on this incredible journey that we get to call life in 2026. Wishing you so much peace and calmness as you decide what this year looks like and what you're going to take on and what you're going to let go. But just remember to be gentle with yourself because you're here for the first time. So remember that. Sending you so much love. Thank you for being here and for joining us on Naked. I am so, so grateful for everyone that's here on the show and that's also listening. Much love to you.
Welcome back to the Naked Podcast. Today I'm chatting with Wendy, a woman who is living a life that she never imagined possible. It all started in 2019 when a health crisis hit their family and it caused them to look at the way that they were doing life, the time that they were spending working versus being together. It caused this idea of could life look differently? In this episode, Wendy dives deep into that, the crisis in their family that spiraled them into living a nomadic life and building an online business. This is an inspiring, intriguing conversation. I am so glad you're here. I hope that you enjoy this episode.
Welcome to season 2 of The Naked Podcast, a space where ordinary people, just like you and me, share the moments that changed everything. This podcast was inspired by a conversation I had with my grandma, who once said, "If more of us shared our stories, fewer of us would feel alone." And that's exactly what we do here. On Naked, we talk about all the things, the wins, the losses, the growth, and the struggles. These are raw, unfiltered conversations about the parts we rarely talk about, but deeply connect us. We are grateful you are here as we open up about the moments that shaped us. This is the Naked Podcast.
Well, yeah, thank you so much for making the time and space to do this. I know we're on such different time zones, so it's tricky, but I really appreciate you taking time and space to be here on the Naked Podcast.
Yeah, you bet. I'm excited to be here and just to talk and to share my thoughts and my feelings. I'm looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm, me too. Before we get started, maybe you can share a little bit about where you are and what you're doing, where life has you. Just kind of give the listeners an idea of who's talking to them today.
Yeah, for sure. So we are currently in Thailand. When I say we, I mean my family and I, so my husband and our daughter and our son. We've been here for about a month, and in a couple days from now, it will be an entire year that we've been traveling. On October 26th, we left Canada and started traveling full time. We went and did a whole bunch of countries in Central America, and then now we're over in Southeast Asia.
Wow. That's incredible. What a milestone in 1 year. Are you going to have a celebration with the family?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of neat. Like, I feel like every day is a bit of a celebration. We're going on a trip, which is funny because it's like we're on a trip. but we're going on a trip from our trip to Chiang Rai. So we're currently in Chiang Mai, Thailand, and we're going to go to Chiang Rai for 3 days, which is funny because we are on a trip. But yeah, so that's kind of like how we're celebrating, is we're doing like this little something extra because where we are right now in Chiang Mai, we've been here for about 2 weeks. I've been in Thailand for about three weeks. And we'll be here in Chiang Mai for another 3 to 4 weeks or so. So this is kind of like our trip. We're acting like this is home. And then this is like a little 3 day trip that we're going to be taking.
Yeah. Your home base, and you're escaping from your home base, the temporary home base for a little.
For a little trip.
For a little trip to celebrate. That's awesome. Well, I am so excited to have you here. For those who are listening today, this is Wendy. And I actually have never met in person. It was a really interesting experience. We travel full time, and we're currently in Nicaragua. And our daughter, who is one of the Taekwondo teachers, met her children and was like, oh my gosh, you need to be on the podcast. You need to meet my mom. And so we just kind of like had this like, okay, we need to get together and connect, and really missed each other in San Juan, but didn't interrupt the fact that we wanted to still connect. And so we have. And I know very, very little about your story, as I do most of my guests. So I'm very excited to like to have this conversation with you because, you know, meeting people that are traveling, in our first little chat we had about like people that are doing this life, and kind of going everywhere, it's a bit of like a it's like nothing you can explain until you're doing it. It's kind of like any other person in your life when you become a parent or when you do something, you know, start something really big in your life. It's like, wow. This is a different, living it out than hearing about it is so different. And there's so many experiences like, you know, feeling isolated or just feeling lonely at times or feeling, like just so overwhelmed with awe and like wonder as you're experiencing these new experiences and meeting these new people and new faces. So it's interesting to connect with somebody who's early in, that journey of that first year. And to kind of communicate and chat. I don't know where this is going to take us today. I always love it when I tell my guests, like, it's really about you and your story and about the time in your life when everything changed. So to me, it's just, it's a much of a novelty for me as a listener to go like, where is this going to take us? Because I'm kind of first at hearing the story as well. So yeah, thank you so much for being here. Tell me what you are drinking. I imagine it's something refreshing considering where you are in the world.
Molecular hydrogen water. It is my drink of choice all day, every day. This is the reason that we travel full time, is because of molecular hydrogen water. It's given us the freedom. I'm a distributor of molecular hydrogen water. And it's given us the freedom to earn from anywhere in the world, which opened up the entire world to us. It is the most potent antioxidant on the planet. And it is literally all I drink, aside from maybe sometimes I have a matcha. Yes.
Okay. It sounds like it's one of your best favorite drinks of choice and adds so much to your life. It sounds like it's not just a drink, but it's like trickled into, like you said, like giving you this life to travel the world. So that is amazing. I can't say that I have anything like that, but I do have some apple cider vinegar with cinnamon and lemon today because I feel very fall-esque, even though like you, I'm in a very tropical space, but I just like, there's something about this time of year and like, oh, I just want cinnamon in my world.
Yeah. So. It's fall. Because your roots are in Canada, same as mine. So you're like, I know.
Yeah, exactly. I know what fall should feel like.
Yeah. Put a sweater on maybe.
I know, like the AC to get yourself cooled down and some warm socks or something. Yeah, it makes you feel like, oh, this is fall.
Cozy.
Yeah, exactly. Cozy. Well, cheers to this. Thanks for meeting me and hanging out today. This is really, really awesome. So I'm excited. When you thought about, when Kiki told you, I don't know if she told you about the podcast or how it all came up, but when you heard about the concept of joining me in this space on Naked, it's a space where stories are shared so that people in the world that are living their own journeys perhaps won't feel less alone, perhaps won't feel so alone in their own story and realize somebody else has gone through something similar. And it just kind of has this bind of connecting us together and realizing there's so many parallels in our journeys, whether we come from Asia, Canada, Africa, wherever we go, there's these human experiences that connect us. So when you thought about joining me, what was the thing that came up to you in your mind of like, oh, this is the time when everything changed?
Yeah, for me, it was a very specific moment. So 6.5 years ago, we were living like a very standard life. I had worked as a news anchor for, well, as a news journalist and reporter for 7 years and a news anchor for about 1.5 years. And then we had children and I wanted to stay home with the children. So we made that possible. My husband just worked more, worked extra. And that was possible for me then to stay home, which was beautiful. But on July 1st of 2019, my husband was diagnosed with cancer. We were 32 years old, both of us. No, he was 32. I was 31. And it was just very, very eye-opening for us. I was 20 weeks pregnant at the time. And wow. it just brings to question a lot of things in your mind. So it started off very much as like, you know, he's been diagnosed with cancer. I'm pregnant. There's a lot of fear. There's a lot of worry. He's got this big journey ahead of him. I don't even really remember my pregnancy. You know, like when people say like, how, like, what's like one thing about each of your pregnancies that like stands out to you? I'm like, I don't even remember being pregnant a second time. Because we were just full on like in survival mode, like getting him through that. And so I wouldn't say that that was like specifically the moment, but that's what like prompted the moment. I think the moment of his diagnosis, I remember like being in the doctor's clinic and there was a poster on the wall. And when they said it, I felt like my body like absorb into the poster and I could like hear them telling us. And I could like see us, like our little family, like me pregnant, him sitting there, our daughter in the room. And I could like see us and I could hear it, but I was like gone from it kind of. And it was very bizarre to me. And I would say that's the moment that like prompted the change, but I didn't know it in that moment because I just went into like fear and into survival mode and I hadn't done any personal development work on myself. And I didn't really understand my beliefs. I was kind of just like floating through life, you know? So he's diagnosed, he goes through treatment, he uses holistic remedies as well. I go through the pregnancy, we have our son, he goes into remission. And then is when a lot of things started to change for us because we almost just needed like a little bit of space from the diagnosis. So the changes couldn't happen during, like, for example, you're not cleaning your house when your house is on fire, right? You need to exit the home and then you clean the house after. Right. So it was like our house was on fire and I couldn't be like, we should start traveling full time and live an alternative life. Like it was just like, we need to deal with the fire. Once it was out, let's see what happens. Right. And so once he went into remission, it was that moment of like, okay, the fire is out. And rather than operating in victim mindset of like, why did this happen to him? And like, how terrible for us. And I don't even remember my pregnancy. And like, you know, why a young 32-year-old, like healthy man, like those were the stories I was playing during his treatment and during his recovery. But it was like when he went into remission, I was able to kind of shift that view and that perspective and switch it from like, why did this happen to us to like, what is this showing us? Like, what was the underlying message? Mm-hmm. Why did cancer become part of our story? And so it just felt very pivotal to be like, you know what, we could just carry on with our life. And our life was, you know, he was working the equivalent of 2 full-time jobs. I was home full-time with the children, but we would only have Sundays together. And aside from that, he was working 12 to 14 hours a day, 6 days a week. So like for me, it felt like, oh, like how blessed am I to be able to be here with the children all the time. But yet, like, it was never our whole unit, the four of us all together. And we loved to travel and we didn't have the opportunity to travel because he was working so much. And so that kind of was the moment where things started to shift, where we started viewing cancer as like a redirection in our life. And so it allowed us to like really evaluate things, to look at what our day to day was and whether we were satisfied with it. And if not, what could we do in order to change it so that the lesson of the cancer diagnosis wasn't lost? And then everything kind of just like went quickly from there.
Wow. So that perspective shift for you, like being like, oh, like, why did this happen to us? What's happened to us? And then to the point, like, okay, what is this, what was this about? What was this teaching us? What was that time frame for you? Because like exactly what you said, when you're in the fire, you're not cleaning your house, right? You're just trying to get out safe enough. Right. And so you're on the other end of that. And it's like, we made it. We're all still alive. We're all still here.
Yeah. So for me, he went into remission in late October. And then our son was born like less than 2 weeks later. And so it took a hot minute to be like, let's like figure things out. I'm like, I just gave birth apparently. Yeah. I'm like, I can't even remember I was pregnant. Yeah. Like, so it took a bit of time to kind of like regroup. He's like still got no hair. Like he's not feeling well. So I would say it was like, so that was November. So I would say it was like November, December. We kind of just like found our footing a little bit. And then by January, I started kind of having like different thoughts or like being interested in different things. Being interested in like my spirituality, being interested in podcasts and personal development books and things that would like help me in my life. And then in March came what some people would call a global pandemic. I'm not sure your thoughts or feelings on it. I didn't align with a lot of the narrative that was coming up. And so I think having, you know, my husband go through what he went through and then something like that, something so polarizing pretty quickly thereafter, I really found myself and my beliefs because of both of those simultaneously happening in a short time. And so I would say it was like April, maybe May, when I was really like delving into like myself, my beliefs, and how I wanted to show up in the world. And even just like the fact that like we can make our life however we want it to be. Like I had never like thought of that. It's like, how did I miss that? Yeah. You know? How could I be so at the time? So that would have been like April, May. So by then I'm 32. And I was like, I had never held this perspective of like, hey, you know, if we're not satisfied in our life with the amount of hours that he's working, we have the full authority to actually just change that. We have to be brave. We have to like do something different. But we can actually make a change there. And then our daughter was like 4, almost 5, and was supposed to start school. And we were not feeling aligned with school all of a sudden, which is interesting because I was raised in a school. My husband went to school. I mean, most people go to school. And suddenly we were like, are we going to homeschool? Like, this is a bizarre thought that we've never held before. And we were like, we'll do it just for like a year. You know, like it's kindergarten anyway. It's not a big deal. Like, we'll see what we think and we'll see if we're able to like keep her on track in her first year. Then everything just kind of progresses from there, right? So like she's in her first year, we're trying to keep her on track. Eventually I have like these thoughts of like, well, what is on track? Like on track according to who and according to what timeline? And so, you know, maybe she's not doing the math that most kindergarten or grade one students would be doing, but instead she's exploring the outdoors and learning about nature and biology, right? So it's like on whose track, right? So it was almost like once one door or like window or like wormhole or can of worms was opened, rabbit hole, suddenly you go down it and you're like, oh, I have a different thought on this than I used to. And then it just leads to the next hole. And then you go down that one and then it just leads to the next one and suddenly everything that you once believed is now different.
Once you start, like you said, opening that space. It's so interesting though. Like I think it's easy to get into that space, but it's very also, I shouldn't say easy. I feel like when that does happen, it can lead to a lot of intrigue, but there can be a lot of retracting, being like, oh, hold on, this is really scary. And how would I make this look differently? How could this be, how could we restructure our life? Like you said, the 12 to 14 hour days from, you know, 6 days a week, how could we restructure our life? I think that's where a lot of us get lost, being like, oh, that sounds great, but
how,
where and how?
You are exactly talking to the right person about that sentence, because what I do with molecular hydrogen water is I'm a distributor of the water system that makes molecular hydrogen water. And so I distribute it to people who anybody would benefit from it because it's the most potent antioxidant on the planet. So one cup of molecular hydrogen water is equal to about 5 pounds of blueberries in antioxidizing effects. So it's incredible for your health. So crazy. I distribute it for health reasons, but I also distribute it to people who are feeling like how I was a few years ago, feeling unsettled in life and wanting a way to earn money outside of the regular systems. And then, so people who want just the water, I set them up with the water system, but people who want the water system and distribution rights, I help them become a distributor and I show them how to market it. And so I'm in a space where I get to help people change their life. And so I run ads on the internet and I teach the people who join me how to run ads on the internet. But so I meet people when they're in that exact space that we're talking about. They're at this shift in their life, this moment where whatever they were doing feels like it's no longer working. They're analyzing their life. Maybe there was like some sort of health issue that came up. Maybe it was just a realization. Sometimes it was like my mom passed away, whatever it may be, but something all of a sudden isn't feeling good in their life. And they're like, I'm looking for a change. You know, my, my daughter just turned 10 and I realized I haven't had a lot of time at home with her. And suddenly, you know, she's halfway out the door, right? Like she's almost an adult. So whatever it may be, but I meet with people on the internet when they are looking for a shift in their life. And so I see this every day, this, what you're talking about of like, first comes the realization of I'm not satisfied in my life and I want to change it. And then comes like, can I be strong enough, fearless enough, and willing enough to make the changes to carve a new path forward rather than staying stuck on the road that I'm on. And that is where, that is where people are defined in that moment. Like the path of your future is defined in the moment of having an opportunity that would answer what you're looking for in your life. And you can either choose your fear and not take it and settle into the life that you have that you're not satisfied with, or you can take the leap and create something new. And so, yeah, when you talk about that of like just being in that space of, okay, we want to change things, but saying we want to change things and actually changing things are two different things, because humans live in fear. We are designed to keep ourselves safe. Because like, what is safe, right? Like, is it safe to stay in a life that you're not satisfied with until you die? To me, that seems unsafe, because then your life has passed and you weren't pleased with it, right? But people perceive that as safe because you don't have to do something different. So you might hate your job, but it's bringing you enough to get by. And so people can just decide that they're satisfied with that. And so people get stuck right in that spot of, I want to change. Yeah. Am I brave enough to do the things that need to happen in order to make the change?
So take me back to Wendy 6 years or 5.5 years ago, when you're like, okay, I want to change. Your husband's is now in remission. You have this baby, you have a toddler. And I mean, that's one of the busiest seasons in life, never mind just as a parent, but never mind having a husband who's had an illness and you're having to work through health and things like that. So take me to Wendy then, where it's like, okay, I'm going to do something different. Like, what did you do, and where did the idea and the courage and the understanding come for this? Cause it's a quite big, lofty, like how, you know, beside that.
Yeah. And I mean, had somebody told me, you know, a few years ago, hey, if you do this one thing, you guys can be world schooling and traveling the world full time in a couple of years, I would have been like, no, like, how would that be possible? So it's one of those things that just like over time it plays out and it's like, oh, cool. Like, I look back and I'm like, we have a different life now. But so the me like pre-diagnosis or even like during diagnosis was very just like what some would call like a matrix mom. Like, you're just living in the matrix. You just go through the motions, you do your day. You don't even actually really question whether you're satisfied with it. It's just, it is. It just is what it is.
Yeah. It's
You know, my husband had his college education, his university degree. I had my university degree. And so then you like settle into your job and you do that till you retire. And the thought or the idea of like traveling full time wasn't even a seed that had been planted in my brain, because it was so far beyond, a belief that I could hold for myself that it wasn't even there. Like, I was just like, man, we can only, like, you know, take a trip maybe for 7 days because he works so much. I was like, imagine if we could do like a month. Like, I couldn't even think like how much your life can expand if you allow it to. So I would say like the first, like, you know, me six and a half, even 7 years ago was very much just like going through the motions, doing my day. And like, if you had asked me, you know, like, are you happy in your life? I would have said, yeah. Like, cause I didn't question like whether I was or not. To me, it was like, he works a lot and I get to be home with the kids. And so life is really good, you know? But I didn't know how good it could get. Right. So I would say I was very much just like following the norm. And then he diagnosed, some thoughts started to shift. And then I just lived in fear for like about a year where I was like, I see my life, what it is. I want to make changes. I don't know how. And I feel kind of like paralyzed and stuck because once you have the thoughts or ideas that you want something different, now you know that in order to have that, you like action needs to be taken and that can be paralyzing. Right. And I didn't know, know the path forward. I'm like, I don't crochet, so I'm not going to start like a crocheting business. I'm like, I don't have like online skills. I don't, and I'm not going back to work. So like, what are my options? You know? So I would say I spent like probably about a year after he went into remission, kind of just like deep diving into like who I am, what I believe, and the fact that I can hold space for a bigger life, for the thoughts of having a bigger life. So that would be probably like for about a year, I was kind of operating in that like mind space of like, you know, maybe we're meant for something more. And then around that time, we were living in Edmonton for a short time because my husband was on a work project there. So whenever he had a work project, our whole family, we kind of moved to wherever the project was. Okay. And we were living in a house where it was a two-story house. We were upstairs. Sorry, it was a two-story with a basement suite. So we had the main level and the upstairs, and there were people in the basement suite. And they were in their 70s. And they were really health conscious. And my husband's cancer diagnosis switched us to being a lot more health conscious. And so they were in the basement suite and we started talking about water. And my husband and I, when he was diagnosed with cancer, we started filtering our water. Up until that point, we hadn't really thought much about water as being a piece of the pie in your health, but you are 70% water. So it is the largest piece of the pie. And I don't know how we missed it. So we started filtering our water and they had a water system that made hydrogen water. And she started telling me about hydrogen water and how good it would be for somebody who was in remission from cancer. And I was like, this is interesting, you know? And so I started like thinking about it, started like doing some research on it. And the plan or the intention was to purchase a hydrogen water system in the future. Probably once we were back from Edmonton and things had kind of settled in back at home. We're from Saskatchewan originally. And so that was the plan. And then in the meantime, I was watching, and this is funny, it's kind of like a full circle thing, but I was watching a lot of people online making money on the internet. And some of them were living in San Juan del Sur, which is where you are now. And so we were watching this take place. And I was thinking, you know, how are Canadians and Americans feeling dissatisfied with where they're at in their life, with the country that they're living in, and just up and relocating to San Juan del Sur? Like, how are they making that work? Where is their money coming from? You know, like, my husband's job is not going to move there with us. How does this work?
Yeah.
And so I just kind of like stayed curious about it for a little while. And there was the one woman who I was kind of following pretty closely, and she was working in network marketing. And to me, that was just a scam and a pyramid scheme. And so I actually typed in online hashtag YXE, which is the hashtag for the city that my husband and I lived in, Saskatoon. So I typed in hashtag YXE and then the name of the company that she was in network marketing with. And essentially what I was trying to do was like prove to myself that like only she was having success and people from my town couldn't succeed. And I found a lady who had been in the same network marketing company as her like 3 years prior and had switched to a new direct sales, freedom-based business. And she happened to be sharing about it in her stories that day. I've never met her. I just like happened to type in this random hashtag. So she was sharing about it in her stories, talking about building income from home or from anywhere. And for her, she was really wanting to be able to do that because her daughter plays hockey. And she didn't want to be in a job where she couldn't be present for her daughter and take her to her hockey games and stuff. Hmm. And I was like, oh, this sounds interesting. I came here to like prove to myself that like, you know, there's a scam taking place and this lady living in San Juan del Sur, Nicaragua is at the top of the scam. And here I am. And here I am learning about, you know, like some sort of direct sales business where you can create freedom. So I clicked on, she had a link to a web class. So I clicked on this web class link. And I'm like 5-10 minutes into the web class, and the product that they're marketing that helps you create this freedom-based business is the same product that the lady who lived in the basement suite a year prior told me about. It's this water product that would be really helpful for my husband. And I was like, well, thank you. Like, thank you for telling me forward, because I didn't know what the path was, right? And so we can go through life thinking that things are coincidences, or we can look at them as the miracle that they are. And I chose to look at that as a miracle. It is miraculous that I was introduced to that product years prior. We had the intentions of purchasing it. We didn't purchase it. And now, full circle, I'm seeing somebody marketing that same product and marketing the business side of it, so that it's not just a product, it's a product and a tool to create more freedom. And I'm like, this is what I need. Mm-hmm. We already needed the product and we also need the freedom. And so like 9 days later, I was part of the company and a distributor with the company. It was just that like beautiful alignment where you have to just follow it. And so I did, and everything that was, so, you know, when you ask the question of like, you know, how did you go from like where you were to like having an idea for something, to bringing it to fruition, to now having this different life. That's kind of the timeline of it, of like, you know, I'm in fear, and then I'm in this like, I need to change something, but I don't know how. And then I'm in this space of like, oh my gosh, a miracle like was just handed to me and I'm going to run with it, to like now, okay, I've seen it play out. How beautiful.
And what was that like that? Because originally you're talking about seeing this woman in San Juan, you're like, oh, it's a total scam. And what in you was like, because there are those ideas, I think, around like, I don't know the structure of it, but like pyramid, right? Where it's like, people are like, I don't know, like my parents were in Amway, you know, it's like, I'm not sure. And there's a lot of that like pushback and fear of being like, I know someone who knew somebody who didn't make any money, you know, or it was just like this, they were at the bottom of the pyramid always. And so what for you was like, oh no, I mean, I'm going to take this next step. I know you said you saw the girls, like watched her stories and took one of her workshops and those things. But like, there is also that next step, you know, of like trusting that this is, and I can see it. And from your, like the way you're talking, we're like, yeah, it was the miracle. It was a thing that we had talked about for my husband's health. And then it all kind of just aligned like stars, you know, being like, and it just kind of led us this way. Mm-hmm. But was there a part of you, like the skeptical side of you, being like, I don't know, or are you just like sold?
Yeah. I almost feel like I had a moment where I got to choose what it was for me. Do I choose the belief of it's too good to be true, it probably can't happen for me, or do I choose the belief of like, I'm seeing it working for other people and it's not coincidence that it landed on my plate, and so I'm going to stay in my intuition here. And so the one night, so before actually like launching the online business and becoming a distributor and partnering with the company, there's a learning process that you go through first. So I watched the web class, and then from the web class, there's like a 3-hour learning series called the discovery process. And I was going through the discovery process, and I remember like I was sitting at the kitchen table the one evening, I'm like going through it, my husband's in the living room, and he was like, I don't know, Wendy. He's like, what if it like doesn't work out, or what if this, or you know, what if other people online didn't succeed? And I'm like, don't. I'm like, just don't. I'm like, do not ruin the miracle that was just handed to us. Because nothing is ever right or wrong. Nothing is ever black or white. It's all your perception. And so if I chose to perceive it as too good to be true, a scam, only works for some people, then that would have been my story. But I know that it's all energy. And so I can just change the energy of it to like, well, why not me? And so I just did. I just chose that it's going to be the path for us. And I think it really helps to choose that belief when you can recognize the miracle of finding the thing, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, even how we were talking like 10 minutes ago about people like living in fear, and how I interact with people who are at that pivotal stage in their life where they're wanting to make a change, and they get to choose fear or they get to choose mm-hmm. faith and move forward. Right. And mm-hmm. I can see in that moment, I can see people battling with like, what am I choosing? Am I staying in my intuition or am I staying in my fear? And so, and I know, like, I see it play out. Like, I see people talk themselves out of it. And my belief is the reason that somebody talks themselves out of it is because they don't see the miracle of having been led to the solution to their problem. So, and this is, this is with everything in life. Like, I mean, I'm talking about my online business and water distribution, but this is for everything. Anytime that you're wanting to create a shift in your life, you will be presented with the opportunity to create that shift. And in that moment, you can either choose to do it or you can choose not to. And it's easier to choose to do it if you recognize it as a miracle, right? So, I mean, like, I apply that to like some other situation. I mean, like even say traveling full time. Well, here's a good situation. There's a woman who is living here in Chiang Mai, who's in a world schooling group that I'm in. And she messaged on that group. And I'm like, I never go into that one particular group. She messaged in that group the other day, like, hey, we're in Chiang Mai. Just wondering if there's any like other full-time travelers, world schoolers in the area. Our son is 10, you know, kind of just looking for somebody to hang out with. And I was like, we're here like for a little time. And then I said, after this, we're going to like Southern Thailand. And I listed the name of the community that we're going to be in. And then I said, then after that, we're going to Vietnam. And she was like, us too. Like, where in Vietnam are you staying? And I told her the name of the community and she's like, us too. So we are like literally following, we're like pretty much traveling partners. Wherever they're going, we're also going. And not on the exact same days, but we cross over for like weeks while we're in each of these locations. So even that, like, it sounds like in my conversation with her, it sounds like she was looking for some direction in her life as to how to kind of proceed in her life and how to like, they just started traveling full time. And so her and I both recognized it as miraculous that her and I happened to connect and we happened to be traveling to all of the same places. And we had a conversation that day that happened to be the conversation that she needed to help provide her the direction in life that she needs. So you can recognize that as a miracle, or you can say it's coincidence, but I choose to look at life as a miracle. Yeah. And for me, that's a miracle. How did that happen? Right? She was needing direction in her life. Yeah. She was saying, I feel lost and I need direction. And it was given to her.
Hang tight. We'll be back after this short break. Season 2 is finally here. When I first started the Naked podcast, I honestly had no idea where it would lead us. I just knew that honest conversations really do matter. Somewhere along the line, I realized that the best parts often happen after we stop recording. The quieter moments, the ones you don't plan for. So this season, I'm inviting my guests to stay a little longer for those conversations. I am so excited to share that the Naked podcast now has a Patreon. A space with extended episodes, written versions of my solo pieces, and a few of the things I am building just for you. If this show has moved you, made you feel seen, or just kept you company, I'd love for you to join me there. All the details are in the show notes, just a little invitation to stay a bit longer. As we take this short break, think about someone who might need this story in their ears today and pass it on. Now, let's get back into it.
Yeah. And I think it's like you touched on earlier, it's like trusting that intuition. You know, like it's exactly like you said, there could be two possible choices, you know, and a lot of times it's very uncomfortable to get out of what feels comfortable and what feels familiar and what feels known. Like, I know when we first moved out of our home in Calgary, we were going to something we thought was like, felt like we were going somewhere with the direction of replanting ourselves somewhere. And then our whole world changed and it was like, okay, we have the opportunity now. That door just like slammed shut. So do we go back and buy
a home back in the hometown, or what are the possibilities? It was so, would have been so much easier to stay with what felt comfortable, which would have been going back to our roots and staying with the people and the family and the understanding of living and the life that we knew. But it just didn't feel like the next right decision. Mm-hmm. And again, like you, it's like, yeah, you can look at it as opportunity, as the miracle. Mm-hmm. Like the door closing was an opportunity for us to see something different.
Right.
And allowed for us to go, what else could we be doing?
Totally.
What else do we want to do?
So instead
instead
of why did the door close, it's what was the door closing trying to show me?
Right.
Yeah.
And then you see and you're like, oh, this, we can do something different. It feels very unknown and it feels very scary. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of oh shit moments, you know, where you're like, I don't know the language. I don't know the money. I don't know how to get around. I don't know where to buy groceries. I have all these little kids. Like there's this deep sense of lostness,
right.
You know,
totally.
In all of it, because you're just like, ah.
Yeah. And that's the side of like full-time traveling that I think, you know, maybe doesn't get talked about as much. Because traveling full-time is in itself incredible. Being able to be where you want to be with your children full-time, all of that stuff. It's incredible. But there is all of that, like those oh shit moments of like, especially with the children, you know, when you're saying like every time that we move countries, and you're super familiar with this, this is why I wanted to meet up with you when we were in Nicaragua. And it just, the timing just wasn't right because we needed to move to the next country and we had our flights booked and it just didn't time out. But when I met your daughter at Taekwondo and she told me that your family had been traveling for 8 years, I was like, she's my person who will know what it's like, because from the outside, you know, I'll have people message me and be like, how's your trip? And then they're like, well, like, or your life. And I'm like, yeah, right. Like it feels like to the outside, people are like, she's on vacation. Like she's just on a trip, like an extended trip for like a year now. And part of it is like that, you know, I'm not going to say that like when we have, you know, a Wednesday to the four of us in our family at the beach, learning how to surf, that it doesn't feel like it is a vacation. But there are the moments in it where it's like the familiar would feel easier when you get to a new country and there's all the luggage and there's unpacking and there's like whose bedroom is whose and the blinds aren't dark enough. So, you know, your kids are going to be up in the morning earlier than you want them to. And, you know, my son didn't sleep well because we had to get him up to get on the airplane at 3 a.m. and he's super dysregulated. And I understand why he would be, like, he can't find his markers and he has no bedroom. Like he doesn't know where he belongs in the world. He doesn't have that like stability of just like that regular day to day. And you can get into your head a little bit and start questioning, like, what are we doing? And like, it was like easier before. But like define easy, right? It's like, was it easier to, you know, just become complacent in my life and just flow through the motions? Or had we continued on that path, would have there been such a stirring inside of me that it would have become not easy to stay where we were, to stay stuck? Mm-hmm. And so I think that is what shifted us, right? Was it like the moment of like packing all your stuff up? I mean, like we sold most of our stuff. The rest of it we packed into a trailer and it's parked in my parents' farm. And that moment of like, you know, closing the trailer door and being like, I guess we're leaving. Like, is this a good idea? Like, and like our children were like, you can only bring like 5 toys. Like we don't have a lot of room. And then you start feeling guilt of like, is that right? But it's like I said, like nothing is black or white and nothing is right or wrong. So then the flip of that is like, well, they might not bring all their toys, but they get to have both their parents around. They get to explore different towns, communities, cultures, people, beaches, animals, plants all over the world. So I'm like, their toys being, you know, in a trailer in Canada is really not a big deal. But yeah, it's probably the side of like full-time travel that like isn't as glamorous as like when you settle in a new place and everything just feels uncomfortable. And it's like, well, you know, back home we just did our day. And it was easy.
Yeah.
But I mean, obviously, like,
yeah, and if it's, you,
You go ahead.
Okay. No, I was just going to say, yeah, it does have, there definitely is that feeling of sameness that feels comforting.
Mm-hmm.
And stable and reliable, you know? So it's interesting, like meeting people that are finding their way in the world. And like you said, it's not one way is wrong or the other. Some of us really love and need stability and want to be in one place, and that is fine. And I probably would have never been a person who would have sold my house and most of my things to travel the world if it wasn't because of our circumstances that happened the way they did, which I won't get into in this podcast because we've recorded that in another podcast. So if you're listening and you want to find out what that is, just go back. And Greg and I talk about that in a podcast where we do explain why we started traveling. But it wasn't because of a choice we made because we're like, oh, we're just going to sell our house. And we're just like really done with this. It was like, no, our lives abruptly changed as we decided to move to the US, and that so abruptly the door just closed as we were at the border. And so that changed the trajectory of our lives. But at the end of the day, we still got to choose where we went and what we did. And there is a lot of uncomfortable feelings that come with that. But I think you can probably attest to this too, is like one of the most beautiful things for me that I found with traveling, or two of them, I would say the first one would be the fact that it slows time down so much.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're not just, for me, somebody who lived a very, very fast-paced life before we started traveling, I didn't really know Wednesday to Friday or Sunday to Tuesday. The days always just were happening. And there's a lot of going. And then the community that I was a part of and the culture I was part of was very rapid, very go, very hamster wheel. And I joined, signed up for that, you know? And so I didn't realize that was what I was living until we were in a small town in Vietnam. And you're like, wow, like, I don't know where to get groceries. So I am mapping everything from the moment I wake up until the moment I go to bed, because it's new and I don't know the language and I'm trying to figure out how to speak it. And I'm trying to figure out the currency and all of these things. So it slows down time. Like when you're a kid and it feels like it takes forever to get to Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that feeling again of being a child where time just expands
mm-hmm.
in a way that it's like when you're a child again, because you're in awe and because you're so present.
Mm.
Traveling has really required me to be very, very present.
Mm.
I think that's one of the beautiful things that I don't know that I would have learned in any other way without actually ejecting myself out of my hamster fast-paced life and actually just being like, wow, the grocery store.
Totally.
How did we get there?
So simple.
And that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because
you can't operate in autopilot because you've never done it.
No.
Right?
No.
A similar scenario that just comes to mind very like clearly to me is 3-ish months ago when we were in Guatemala. We were trying to get to this volcano to do a hike, and we're driving along and we get to this point on the road and like we're seeing, you know, women with like big buckets of water on their head and they're carrying the water to their homes, and there's like community like laundry wash tub kind of, and we're just seeing like people just living like way differently than what we're used to.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see in that moment, like their life is entirely different than the life that I grew up with. Right. And so we're traveling along, we're like going through this town on our way to this volcano, and we're looking around and we're seeing all these things that are very different. And like the town that we were living in Guatemala was Antigua, and it definitely like, felt different than, you know, Canada, but not as different as this like little town that we happened to be in. You know, there was running water in it, mm-hmm. but there's not running water in this town, right? And so making our way through this town, we kind of get just outside of the town. We're on the way to this volcano, and the road, like there's a barricade on the road, and there's a couple of like security people or maybe police officers kind of standing there. And there's like maybe 50 vehicles all lined up. And we're probably like, at this point, we're like maybe 40th in the line. And we're just kind of like, you know, we can't speak Spanish very well. Like we've got our select like sentences and like words, you know, like kind of the basic stuff, but we're like, might be a little tricky to be like, you know, when is the road going to open and like what's going on up ahead. And so we just kind of like sat for a little bit. We're sitting there probably like 10 minutes or so. And there's people in the truck in front of us, in the box of the truck, a woman and two men. And they're just like having a casual time, like kind of like having some snacks, and they're like, they're unfazed. So to me, that's saying like, it's going to open very soon. Like the road is like, they're not worried about it. So the road must be opening soon. And they must have this insight. Like they've talked with the security people, whatever it may be, right? Like somehow they know. So we sit there like another probably 10 minutes and we're like, okay, like this is getting weird. We're like, is the road like ever opening? We're not really sure. So my husband like gets out of the vehicle, walks to like the front of the line, goes to talk to the people at security, took his phone with, said he could like use Google Translate if he needed. And he comes back and he's like, yeah, you know, like the earthquake a couple days ago, because there were some earthquakes while we were in Antigua and in Guatemala. And he's like, apparently like the road is closed up ahead. And I'm like, oh, like indefinitely? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, what? I'm like, what are all these people doing here? Like,
you just chilling. Well, no, not a worry in the world.
Right? It's like, you got to go ask security so that they can tell you it's going to be closed, you know, indefinitely. Like maybe it was going to open sometime later that day, maybe the following day. Like at some point they were going to reopen it, but it wasn't like, hey, you know, a tree fell on the road and we've got like somebody pulling the debris off. It was like, it's closed right now. And nobody was worried about it. Which part of me is like, that's amazing. Like how?
Yeah.
And so you can see how time can slow down when you're not always in the hamster wheel. And then after that, so after being in Guatemala, we went back to Canada for about a month. I had a business event just off the coast of British Columbia. And we landed in Vancouver. And we got in the vehicle to drive to our hotel that night. And I was just like, oh my gosh, I finally see it. Our world is built for chaos. The Western world is not built for presence and slowness. It is built for production. The roads are bigger and wider, and there's more stores so that we can
a lot more stores
so that we can more quickly get to our job, make money, feed the system, on our way home, stop and grab food, get home, eat the food, say goodnight to our kids, and do the same thing the next day. Like there would never be a road closure where somebody doesn't ask how long it's going to be.
Oh no.
No, because it is built.
People would be highly uptight
about that. Like, well, and in fact, they would probably do the road work at night so that you don't interrupt people from their workflow in the morning. Right. And so it was just like a very stark contrast to me. And I was just like, it's a different world. Like the Western world is a different world. And it's meant to be fast paced so that you are, you know, a cog in the wheel that keeps the thing spinning.
Yeah. Well, I think it's just what we become very accustomed to. It's just, it's like a phrase that I would say I would use. And a lot of people I know would use is I'm just really busy right now, you know, because it's just a common phrase. It's just because we are really busy and the cost of living is different there. The climb the ladder, keep up with the Jones is more present in those spaces. And that was the second thing I was going to say is a beautiful thing I've learned. The second thing is humanity and how different people live and how different people do life and what paces they live at and how they honor nature and how they are reverent about the plants, you know, things that are different that I never grew up with. How like Bali creates these beautiful like baskets of like gratitude and thanks back to nature, being like every single day they make these little baskets out of banana leaf and they put a flower in it and a cracker. And like, this is our thanks to nature for giving us everything that we have. Like a gratitude to nature that I've never experienced in anywhere in the world. And what a beautiful thing I can take from that. And to realize that like there's all these nuggets with traveling. It's like, oh, you can pick up this and you can like just take up new understandings of doing life, of being open, of how spectacular humanity is as a whole, like how people's spirits are genuine for the most part, and that people are just want to collectively like be together and in a community, and that language isn't such a barrier, that our body language speaks beyond any language. And like there's just like this beautiful understanding for me that I've learned, that traveling has taught me, that I don't think I could have learned in a book or any other way. And so it's so like neat to meet somebody else who's in that beginning, that first year of experiencing that and going around, and how you've really created and cultivated a life that was completely out of the realm of where you came from, and you've made it possible. And not only are you making it possible for yourself, but you're making it possible for other people to experience and kind of cultivate a life that they want, which I think is really beautiful when we can take something that we learned that changed us, and then it has this rippling effect that can help other people kind of walk a new path in their lives as well.
Thank you. I appreciate that so much. When I started my online business, the goal for me was to help my family, of course, right? Mm. We want more freedom. We want my husband, the dad of our children, home more. We want to be able to travel more, all of that. But it seems like once all of that started happening, then I no longer have the want for that because it's my life. And then it can really switch into like, I get to provide this to other people. I have the blueprint for other people to create this exact thing, because, and I know it because I use the blueprint, right? I use the water system and the online business and the community and all of that to build the life that I have. And it's been just so beautiful to watch. I mean, there's people in my organization who love to travel. There's people who homeschool. There's people who want to be stay-at-home moms. And I've seen people's husbands leave their careers. I've seen people leave their own jobs. There's a woman in my organization this month who should earn between $10,000 and $15,000. And she currently works 60 hours a week. So you do that a couple of times and suddenly you only have to work 40 hours a week, and suddenly you don't have to work any hours a week, right? And that is now where I focus so much of my like attention, is just on empowering people to know that like literally the life that you want is just a decision. You just have to make the decision and then believe and move forward in full faith that it will work. Because it's like you were saying, you know, you had this moment of like that one door closed, and you know, you have a choice in that moment. So do I view that door closing as like, hey, what else is possible? Or do I shrink back and go back to like where we were and what we were doing, right?
Yeah.
And I think people don't, like in that moment, they don't realize that they're making such a monumental and pivotal choice. And here you are 8 years later, like that was the thing that shifted it. But it's so empowering to know that like you can actually create the life that you desire. And, you know, like, am I saying this with a bit of privilege as, you know, a white woman who grew up in Canada? Sure. You know, like my family wasn't wealthy by any means, but I did have a home, a roof over my head, you know, my parents around. Like none of what is currently taking place in my life, I wouldn't credit to like my upbringing, but I would say, is it easier for me to create the type of life that I have compared to someone in Guatemala, for example, who they're just trying to get to the wash station to wash their clothing? Like 100%. So for sure it's easier for me, but does it mean that the person in Guatemala who's trying to get to the wash station to wash her clothing couldn't possibly create something better for herself? No, like the world is expansive, and like she literally could. Would she have to, you know, like do some work on herself and like really delve into like what she wants and what her beliefs are? And like, is it hard to do that when you're in a like fight or flight situation and you're like, I'm just trying to get through my day. I'm just trying to get the clothes washed for my family. Yeah. Absolutely. But I do think that it is empowering to know, like I listen to podcasts where, you know, there's people who, I can't remember the name of this man, but his is a story of, he grew up very impoverished in Africa, and his dad wasn't around, and they didn't have enough money, and he was sneaking food He would sneak food from neighbors, from grocery stores, from anywhere, just to like be able to feed himself. And he now is like the author of like best books. You know, he does like coaching programs. He's very sure of himself. And he is living the life that he would dream of. And so it is possible for anybody. And I think just knowing that, like, to the people who are listening to this, it's like, you literally can create whatever you want in your life. And how empowering is that? And am I saying that everybody has equal opportunity or starts at the same place? No. Like, that man started with more difficult circumstances than me, but it doesn't mean that it's not possible. He had to do the work to, you know, get himself to the space and the place where he could create what he wanted, but it's possible.
Yeah, it is. And everybody has like everybody's possibilities look different based on what ignites them and what makes them feel alive. And I think it sounds like for you guys, it really connected with, as far as your health journey, your husband's health journey specifically, it really aligned with what you guys were looking for. And maybe didn't even know you were looking for until it was there. And you're like, oh, this is the thing. And then you're able to take that next step and see where that took you and created this other thing where it's helped people. I think if I was a listener listening to this, I'd be like, okay, what does she do? Like, literally, because, you know, you hear a lot of people's stories and it's like, well, for the full story, check out our workshop.
Right.
You know? So it's like, I think for people that if I was listening, like, okay, tell me what she does, because that's half the novelty. I mean, we travel, we work, you know, we both, myself in and out of it, but my husband works full time online. And so that allows us to continue traveling. And it's not something that's like I couldn't package it up and be like, and you could do this, because it's very specific to what he does.
Right. Okay. Gotcha.
So I think for yourself, and when you talk about people being able to do something like this, yes, they could. Like, I mean, I met people around the world. They're like hairdressers and they started their company online and they do haircuts and they like became well known in like, they make these do amazing hairstyles. And so they do these pop-ups all over the world and that's how they live. You know, and like, I've met people that do all kinds of ways that are just, it's so unique to who they are and so aligned with what makes them feel alive and loving life. And I love that. Like, I've met full-time house sitters that have house sat around the world for 8 years. Like, it's just like, and they just hop around from house to house. They meet all these dogs and all these people. And it's like, that's how they do it, you know? And so there's so many ways to cultivate this life that might look different than your normal 9-to-5. And I think for your story specifically, I am eager, and I think people would be eager to go, okay, so what is it that you do? And what is it that maybe they could do, whether it aligns with them or not, but just sparks maybe an interest in something to see that there's more for them.
Yeah.
There's possibilities.
Yeah. So I can explain it. And I will say, like what you're saying, like, does this align with everybody? Possibly not. Some people want to house sit and want, you know, to be with dogs and that works for them. But for me, this was a very beautiful, miraculous moment to have found this product that I already wanted and to see that it's a business model that could allow me to earn from anywhere in the world. So this water system makes molecular hydrogen water. It's an incredible health product. And so I market it online to people who are looking to upgrade their health. I also market it to health conscious, freedom loving people. So the one side of that is like, I can market it as just a product. Hey, you know, you've got this autoimmune condition, this would help you. You've got cancer, this would help you. You've got inflammation, you're a living being on the planet, this water would help you, right? So that's like one branch of the marketing. The other marketing is like people who are health conscious and want to be able to leave their jobs or travel full time. And so what I do, like when I'm marketing to those people who are wanting just the product, I just sell them the product and I make commission off of the sale of the product. The company that I am a distributor for does no advertising at all. So there is no middleman. There's no marketing department. There's no, you know, like computer and desk and paid days off for your marketing team. There's no billboards. There's no magazine spreads. It's literally me. Like, the people who are distributors, we are the marketers. So when we make a sale of a product that belongs to this company, we make commission off of it. And there's no middle person. We are the marketers. So I can sell the water product to people who want to upgrade their health. And then I can also sell the water product with distribution rights to people who want health and wealth. And so, for example, like a lot of the women who I work with are homeschoolers or want to be homeschoolers or stay-at-home moms. And something about one of those situations. So for example, if they're a homeschooler, typically the husband is working a lot of hours. That was our situation. So homeschoolers, world schoolers, freedom lovers are typically health conscious. So the water product feels in alignment with them. And then when I tell them, hey, you can market this product and you can make money from the sales of it, and possibly your husband would be able to reduce his hours of work and be home with your homeschooling family more. And eventually, like us, like after 2 years as a distributor in this company, my husband was able to leave his high paying career. And we now earn more as distributors of this water. So to be able to tell those people, like, you know, if you decide to purchase this product, you can get distribution rights. And when they purchase the product, I make income from it. And I also teach them how to market it. So then they get to create the same life that I have, if that's what they desire. So they then become marketers of the same product. We have a whole platform built out that teaches people how to market it. We run advertisements online. So I teach people how to run advertisements online. And the advertisements, you choose the audience. So I choose for my advertisements to go to freedom-loving, health-conscious homeschoolers, world schoolers, and stay-at-home moms. So I don't get into conversation with people who don't value their health and don't value freedom and travel. I'm only in conversation with people who value those things. And so then they end up watching my web class video and they're like, this is awesome. This is exactly what I was looking for. And so then they can purchase product, and then I bring them into my mentorship and into our training platform, and they learn how to create the same thing. So that's why I see people in my organization whose husbands are leaving careers, who are leaving careers of their own, who, you know, are earning thousands of dollars a month and looking to move away from their current jobs, is because I help them distribute the same product through our platform and teaching them how to do it.
Okay. Amazing. I have some questions. Like, my mind's just going. I'm thinking about questions for you. So the world is full of information and we're bombarded with a lot of information, especially around the idea of health. And so when you talk about something like water, that it can, it has all these benefits, in what ways, just because I'm curious and I think my listeners will be curious too, in what ways do people notice the benefits? Like, what are you, what if you were to tell somebody, I know you said like autoimmune and there's a couple things you mentioned, but in what ways do they help them, and where is like the science backing that? So people that are like, I'm so interested, but like you said before, it's like, is it a pyramid? You know, like there's those, we all know someone who's done Amway, you know?
Totally.
And so 100%. I think, you know what I mean?
And it's usually your aunt, like, Judy, okay, so, who's done Amway, right? Like, yeah, it's like, for sure.
And she's still selling it.
For sure.
And you're like, oh, Aunt Judy.
Yeah, for sure. You know? So the cool thing about our online business and the way that this company compensates or gives commission to distributors is that, so for example, in the past like almost 12 months that I've been traveling, we've earned over $350,000. And that is more earnings than my mentor and more earnings than my mentor's mentor. So the way that it's not a pyramid is that in a pyramid, the CEO earns the most, and then the directors, and then the managers, and then the employees. And the employees will never 1 year make more than the CEO. But the way that our business is structured is that if you are showing up and you are doing the work, you can and will out-earn the person who introduced you. So there is no top and no bottom. There's no cap, there's no ceiling. Hmm. If you're doing well and you're making sales, you're making money. Unconnected to and untied to the person who introduced you to the business. So that was something that was like really big for me, because I had been looking at a couple of network marketing opportunities, and I couldn't stomach the thought of, if I do really well, I'm going to be splitting commission with my upline, which I don't even like the term upline, right? It's like it implies that someone's above you, which essentially means you're given the money, right? So I was looking at some of those and I was like, I just can't do it. Like I know that when I decide on something and when I set my mind to something, I will be successful. I didn't always know that, but that was part of like the inner work that I did. And so I was like, I don't want to have to like split with people all the time. And when I found this business model, I was like, oh, this is different. I can earn all of the commission available. So that was something that was like really shifting or like pivotal for me. It's just the fact that like, it's not set up like a pyramid. There is no CEO who always earns more than the directors and the managers and the employees. And it's been, it's just been like such, such a beautiful path forward for us and for our family. So when we talk about like the health benefits, like I always say, you know, with like network marketing, you're maybe working with essential oils, mascaras, creams, shakes, face cleansers, whatever it may be. And while those products are probably incredible, you will probably always be splitting commission with your upline. And they're not super impactful. Like, is it important to have clean products on your face and like, you know, clean mascara? Yes. But is it going to change you on a cellular level? No. So with water, because we are 70% water, it is, in my opinion, which obviously I'm biased, but also science would tell you, if you're 70% water and you're drinking water that isn't good for your health, you're drinking tap water, there's pharmaceuticals in it, there's heavy metals, there's forever chemicals, then your body is 70% heavy metals, pharmaceuticals, and forever chemicals, right? Like 70% of what you're consuming and what your body is made up of has those things in it. So when you work with a product like the one that we work with, it has a bigger impact on people. So I feel beautifully aligned with being able to offer this to people. I have seen people who I have sold the product to. For example, this one man with Parkinson's, he's from a town in British Columbia where we were living before we started traveling. And he has Parkinson's and he's like maybe in his late 40s, early 50s, and struggling to get around and move around with his children, right? He's got children about the same age as ours. And he started drinking the water and he noticed a 30% reduction in pain in his joints. So I'm just like, I got to impact his life in a huge way. On a cellular level, he has changed. Molecular hydrogen water, hydrogen is the smallest molecule on earth. So it can actually penetrate the cells and get into the mitochondria. So people who have autoimmune diseases, inflammatory diseases, I mean, pretty much all disease, the root cause is oxidative stress. And the way that molecular hydrogen works is the water runs through this water system and it splits off the oxygen from the hydrogen. And so when the oxygenated water comes out one spout and the hydrogenated water comes out another spout. And so when you're drinking water that is a high level of hydrogen, hydrogen is used to being with oxygen. And so now the hydrogen is like, I'm unstable. I'm looking for another molecule and I need to find one. You drink it and oxidative stress in your body, free radicals in your body are also unstable. And they're looking for something to bond to. So when you drink hydrogen water, oxidative stress, free radicals bond together with the hydrogen to become stable and it neutralizes them. So this is why people with health problems, health conditions see a lot of impact when they're drinking hydrogen water. It's because you change your body on a cellular level by 70%. And so we see like miraculous stories of healing. And of course I'm not allowed to like make health claims. And I would never say that if you start drinking this water, you will cure your Lyme disease, but have we seen that happen? Absolutely.
So it's the testimonies of people that you can reshare that are creating that momentum.
Yeah. And I mean, like if you want to get into the science of it, you would go to PubMed or Google Scholar. There's over 2,000 peer-reviewed studies on hydrogen water, and you would just type in hydrogen water or molecular hydrogen water or electrolyzed reduced water. And that'll take you out of testimonials. Testimonials, I prefer testimonials. You can hear like somebody say, hey, I couldn't, you know, I have somebody in my organization who had chronic neck pain. It's gone. And like hearing that from a person is different than being like, we had 387 people in this like test group and the placebo group, you know, like it's different. But if you're more like a science-based person, you'd want to probably get into that. And there are hundreds, thousands of peer-reviewed studies on it. But I prefer the like actual human side of it, but
the connection.
Yes.
And what ways have you and your husband, and your family, I guess your kids as well, notice a change from drinking the water?
Yeah. So I would say my son was young when we started drinking it. So he almost doesn't have like a before and after. It was like breast milk. Yeah. And then like when it became water, it was this water, you know? So I don't really talk about, cause I'm like, I don't really know what he was like before. Yeah. Right. My daughter, I would say, was struggling with, bowel movements and no longer does. Within like a week of having the water, that all evened out. When we travel with the water system. You just hook it up to your kitchen faucet. So we travel with the water system, and there's been certain scenarios, certain taps that we can't get it hooked up to right away. We need to buy like a different like thing to screw it in or whatever it may be. So sometimes we're off of it for like a couple of days, and we'll notice almost right away with our daughter. That she goes kind of back to how she was. So that's the biggest thing we've noticed with her. With my husband, and I think you notice the impact more if you have some sort of health condition present, right? So for my husband, I would say we noticed like the biggest impact, because he was in remission from cancer and he had some outstanding like side effects still. So one of them was neuropathy, which is like the extremities, the fingers and the feet can feel like they don't really have feeling or feel almost kind of like numb.
Okay.
He would describe it as like when he walked around, it felt kind of like he had flip-flops on all the time. Like there was something like hitting the bottoms of his feet. And then he also had tinnitus. So like ringing in his ears. And when we started drinking the water, those things went away. So I'm not going to make the health claim that it's because of the water. Possibly 2 years into remission, those things were going to go away anyway. I don't know. But I do know that we introduced the water and those things went away within probably a month. And I also know that when we are off the water, if we like get to a place and we're setting up and we don't have what we need in order to get it set up where we are, he will sometimes hear the ringing in his ears again. It seems to me like it's linked. I don't know. I do know that when I watch him fill up a cup of hydrogen water, I feel like it's an incredible product for him. I feel so happy to see him drinking it because I know what it's doing for his body. And then for me, I would say like, I didn't have any health issues really at all. But I would say like energetically, I feel more energized. I don't drink coffee anymore. I have some cool videos that show like, you know, 10 minutes after you wake up, this is what your blood looks like. This is what it looks like if you've drank bottled water. This is what your blood looks like if you've drank coffee. And this is what your blood looks like if you've drank hydrogen water. And the blood, if you've drank hydrogen water, is just like flowing. None of the blood cells are linked together, nothing's stuck, and everything's moving like quite quickly. And so that is why I feel energized from it. I wake up in the morning, I have this full, and I feel boosted for the day. So that would be like the biggest impact for me. I mean, like, it's nothing like, hey, I had, you know, Lyme disease and now I don't. So it's not that extreme, but to me, I'm like, that's cool. You know, because you know that it's doing something on a cellular level where it's really helping you.
Yeah. If there was something you wanted someone to know about, whether it be about this, your business that you're in, or just even the, like the transformation of your life, that's listening and going like, okay, I feel like I'm Wendy 7 years ago, you know, what's something you would want to leave with them today?
I love this question. I would leave with them just to look for the miracles. Look for the miracles in your life. They're there. They're always there. If you're unconscious to them, you go through life not believing in miracles and not having the things that the desires of your heart come to fruition. So if I was to like leave one thing with people, it would just be that there are miracles happening every day. The things that you are asking for, praying for, manifesting about, whatever your belief is, they're coming true in real time, right in front of you. Your prayers are being answered. Your manifestations are playing out in front of you. But unless you're conscious to them, like for example, the life that you are living currently today is the result of something you wanted previously. And that's regardless of whether or not you're living the exact life that you want, that is your ultimate goal. But maybe the person listening to this is 25 and they once wanted to own a home and maybe now they own a home. Maybe the person listening to this is 32 and always wanted children and now they have a child. And you can think, oh yeah, so now I had a child, but, or you can recognize that as a miracle and as you asking for something and then having it play out, right? So I would just say that like the quality of my life and the joy of my life has increased from recognizing miracles in everyday life. And I mean, like I gave the extreme scenario of like this business, right? Like this water business and you know, this like woman living in the basement suite and she had the product. And then I like Googled some sort of like random hashtag and I found this lady and like, you know, you can call that coincidence or you can call it a miracle, but even like smaller than that, like if you scale back from that and you just look around at your day to day, the things that you're asking for, if you ask with like good intentions and a pure heart and you believe it can be true for you, they come true.
Yeah.
And they happen. And so that is what I would leave people with, is just that like miracles happen every day, because when you recognize that miracles happen every day, you can ask for more of them and you can be conscious to the fact that they happen. And you can be in gratitude for being here on this planet and having like being able to experience the miracles that take place every day, if you're conscious to them.
I love that. I love that. I was just actually writing a piece on something similar to that. It's like the first and the last, and how in our life there are these big monumental applauded moments in our life, but in between all those is the micro moments that actually sculpt and create who we are, the whole story of who we are. These little micro moments of magic, like you referenced many times, that kind of make up our story. And I love that. It's a great thing to end on, to remind people to, like, see what's around you, notice it. And like you said at the beginning, like feel your intuition, let that be a bit of your guide. And as you move forward, just trust it. I think that's one of the hardest things, is to trust it, because there's a lot of voices in our heads that maybe tell us otherwise or contradict, you know, when we feel like this is crazy, like who else is doing this? You know, everybody else has this other plan that looks so perfect. And like, it's the 10 steps to like, you know, the North American lifestyle, but it might look different for you and for them. Is there anything else before we cap off that you're like, oh, I really want to share this one last thing that comes to mind? Doesn't have to be, but.
No, I don't think so. I feel like that's like a really good way to end it. I feel like I was a speaker at like one of the keynote speakers at that event that I was talking to you about. It was a business event off the coast of British Columbia. And that was one of my messages in it. It is like one of the biggest messages that I share, because I just think if more people could operate in that space, the world would be a better place. We would become empowered and we would live out the life that we actually have on our hearts, like the desires that we actually have. And so if there's like some way that I can make an impact on anybody's life, I feel like it's through that message of just like, life is a miracle and the things that you ask for actually happen. So keep asking for the things that you want and recognize the miracle when they come true.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
Okay, I always like to end the podcast with one final question, and that is, what is bringing you joy?
sharing conversation. Yeah. I love this. Like, I love doing this. Sharing like hope and possibility for people brings me joy in my life. I just like, I reflect back on where we were, you know, 6-7 years ago. And like I said, like, I wouldn't have told anybody like my life is awful, but I wasn't lit up about life, and I am now. And so being able to share that with people, to share the story of like, hey, miracles happen every day and you can make them happen in your own life. You can pray for them. You can ask for them. You can manifest them. That brings me joy. Giving people the tool to be able to do that brings me joy. And then seeing that play out in real time in my own life brings me joy. You know, simple things like just some nights, like we'll sit down to have like a meal and I'm like, life is bizarre. Like, apparently I'm cooking pad Thai and we now live in Thailand and we've spent a day exploring and my children learned about animals, like about elephants today. We were trekking for elephants and this is like a week ago. It was my daughter's birthday. We saw elephants on her birthday. We were trekking for Asian elephants. And it's just like, how beautiful, like, how did we get here? You know? We asked to get here and then we followed our intuition to here. And so, I would say what brings me joy is sharing with people that the life that you desire can be yours. And then also what brings me joy is seeing that in real time in my own life.
So twofold. Both ways. I love it. Well, this has been amazing. And I really enjoyed hearing more of your story because I've just saw snippets of it online. And being able to like unpack that a bit more with you is where it started and who you were as to what it's become and your life as it's evolved. I love that we have the space to share this and that people all over the world get to hear snippets of what you've created. And maybe there's a bit of a glimmer of a spark that they can trust or the hope that they can trust in their own possibilities and their own dreams. I think these kind of things fuel people when they're like, oh, like it's a bit of a hum. It's something they can grab onto and go, okay, maybe I can see what is my dream? What do I want to do? What do all my life to look like when they see somebody else that's done the same thing, you know? So yeah. I really, really appreciate it.
Well, thanks for
Wendy and I are going to head over. Yeah, no. And this is the podcast, but there is also the Patreon. So we're going to, you know, wrap it up here for us, for you. But if you want to come over and hear some other questions that we're going to chat about, just head over to the Patreon where Wendy and I will discover a little bit more like pointed questions, which I'm really excited to chat with her about. So thank you so much for being here, for listening and for joining us once again. I hope you have a beautiful day and please do come find us over on the Patreon.
I want to thank you so much for being here, for taking the time to listen to The Naked Podcast. It honestly means so much. If there's something in the episode that has moved you, share it with someone who might need to hear it too. And if you haven't already, give us a follow and leave a review. It helps so much to keep the momentum and keep the show growing. For more conversations, reflections, and ways to stay connected, check out the link in the show notes. Until next time. If you'd like to connect with us or possibly share your story, please contact us at nakedwithjanelle@gmail.com. That's nakedwithjanelle@gmail.com. Thanks so much.